While people still insist on smoking tobacco products despite a full awareness of related health risks, many have found a path away from tobacco with e-cigarettes. Yet concerns about e-cigarettes still exist. There are those who see them as a gateway to tobacco for youths. It's one of the reasons why New Jersey is one of the very few states which require you to be 21 or older to purchase them. Others deny their effectiveness and seek to expand limitations and even bans. Also something that's happening in New Jersey and elsewhere. Our next guest is with us to discuss the myths versus facts about vaping and how recent actions against the product are placing people's health at risk in a way. She is a senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Michelle Minton. How are you today, Michelle?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on your show.
CEI.org, that's the website where you can learn more about the issues that the Competitive Enterprise Institute places a spotlight on, including Michelle's work most recently on e-cigarettes. What is one of the biggest, as I said, New Jersey, it seems like limiting something that is helping people get off tobacco, logically thinking that's going the wrong way, yet we see that happening in many places.
Yeah, it's a really bad idea, and there's a lot of different justifications for why people are trying to restrict access to e-cigarettes, but the long and the short of it is all of the studies pretty much show that e-cigarettes are dramatically safer than combustible cigarettes. We're talking on the order of 95% to 99% less risky than smoking, and there's no evidence of a gateway effect among children. There is some evidence that teens are experimenting with e-cigarettes. We're talking, you know, once a month maybe. And that is an issue, and those are valid concerns. People should be concerned about teenagers experimenting with something that's potentially addictive for them. But, you know, there are hundreds of thousands, millions of adult Americans who continue to smoke, and they have about a 50% chance of dying from their smoking habits. So, you know, from my perspective, someone like me, I say, well, the net benefits of having e-cigarettes easily available and attractive for adults outweigh any of the small potential risks of a teenager experimenting with e-cigarettes, which, by the way, nicotine is on the order of about caffeine when it comes to the level of danger towards adolescence.
Which certainly, when you compare e-cigarettes versus a tobacco product, for those who are unsure, and correct me if I'm wrong, or uninitiated to what e-cigarettes are all about, it's keeping the nicotine, but it eliminates all the tar and the carcinogens.
Right. Most people are under the impression that nicotine in cigarettes is what is harmful, and that's not true at all. Nicotine, like I said, is very similar to caffeine, which is a perfectly acceptable, you know, addiction that many adults have in the U.S. and around the world. It's the combustion of cigarettes, the burning of the paper and the tobacco that really causes a lot of the carcinogens that we then inhale. When you have something like e-cigarettes or other products that are heat not burn, or a few of the non-combustible chew products, or like snus, which is a moist powdered chew, these products don't have combustion. So right off the top, you're eliminating a huge amount of the risk that goes along with consuming tobacco products. And e-cigarettes, obviously, there's no combustion. They heat up a liquid that contains no tobacco, but it contains tobacco-derived nicotine.
Although we've seen some of the e-cigarettes also come into play with the idea of combustion, too, but that's a whole different reason. But that's also why you shouldn't go on the cheap if you're going to use e-cigarettes, too, because that's some of the problems mechanically that happens. When we look, you alluded to the rates initially, but because the FDA certainly has been, generally speaking, anti-e-cigarette, which is odd because you would think they'd try to do anything that would tamper down the tobacco industry, but it almost seems like they're in bed together on this issue. Is there a correlation between a rise in e-cigarettes and a drop in tobacco usage that can be definitive and has studies to back it up?
Right, so that's a really tough thing when you're looking at trends over time about what is playing into that. But we do know that over the last 10, 15 years or so, since e-cigarettes have been around, the adolescent smoking rates and for adults as well have dropped. And this is in the late 1990s, cigarette use among teenagers was actually going up. It was fairly high. And in the last 4 years or so, the rates of smoking among adolescents has dropped even more than it had in the last 10 years. So there's something going on. And at the very least, I think we can clearly say that the presence of e-cigarettes, you know, readily available, has not stopped the decline in tobacco use among teenagers, you know, if you exclude e-cigarettes from the definition of tobacco products. And there are some studies, there are lots of studies actually at this point, where you have smokers who switch to e-cigarettes, and that works better for them than other types of nicotine replacement therapies. I'm not sure exactly why. My theory is that, well, unlike the patch or the gum or any of that other stuff that you could use as a smoker, e-cigarettes are fun. They're tasty. You can still use them in a social atmosphere. They mimic the experience of smoking. And that seems to be highly effective for adult smokers to switch completely. In fact, some experiments have found that even smokers who say they have no intention of quitting will ultimately quit or reduce their smoking by half or more when you give them an e-cigarette.
Having been a smoker myself long time ago, last time I bought a pack of cigarettes, I think it was $2 a pack, possibly even less. But my experience, I've heard from other people too, smoking, is, if it's a physical aspect, I mean, you can have the nicotine addiction and that causes you to smoke more, but if it's a physical aspect, you need something in your hand or in your mouth. The patches, the gums, that just takes care of, well, the patch, neither of those aspects, and the gum, only one of those aspects. So the e-cigarette, if it's a physical addiction that compels you to smoke, you're basically covered with the e-cigarette because it's taking care of the hand-to-mouth function that you're looking for.
Yeah, a lot of people in public health only focus on the chemical addiction to nicotine without really taking into consideration the fact that people who smoke, even though, yes, they're addicted to nicotine, they genuinely enjoy the experience of smoking. They enjoy the hand-to-mouth. They enjoy the feeling of it going into their lungs. And that's something that e-cigarettes effectively mimic for them. I mean, you see people who are e-cigarette users, they are enthusiasts. They are excited about it, not like with the patch of the gum where, you know, it's more like, I have a disease. I need to take this medication in order to deal with my disease. They get enthusiastic about e-cigarettes, which is nothing like we've ever seen before in tobacco harm reduction and trying to get people off smoking, that they can actually be excited about quitting smoking.
Talking with Michelle Minton, who is a senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, is their website, listening to Issues and Ideas. She's written recent articles, including E-Cigarette Puritans Risk Lives. There was a change at the head of the FDA. The commissioner is stepping down, and, well, to say the least, as I said before, he has certainly led the charge against e-cigarettes. He encouraged the president in the most recent budget that just came out for the next fiscal year, $100 million in basically battling e-cigarettes. Would that money be better used to increase the tobacco awareness and maybe fund local programs that help people get off of tobacco through whatever means is necessary?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not actually sure that, I mean, one of the theories I have about why teenage e-cigarette experimentation has increased so much in 2017 to 2018 is because the FDA, the CDC, local public health departments were putting so much attention onto Juul and onto e-cigarettes, specifically aiming their messaging at teenagers. And we've seen this with some other programs like the DARE program in schools or anti-littering campaigns, is when you send the message that everyone's doing this, but you shouldn't do it, mostly what people hear is that everybody's doing it. So I think, you know, Juul has been around since 2015. It's been very popular. And the rate of e-cigarette use among teenagers declined from 2015 to 2017. Something changed in the last year. And I honestly think it was the advertising that these public health agencies were doing on behalf of e-cigarettes. And when you're talking about the budget, the $100 million, what they're called is user fees, in other words, it's a tax, companies would pay that. But the way that they base the user fee, how each company, you know, how much each company would pay, is based on sales taxes. And right now there's no federal excise tax. But that sort of indicates that they would need to do that as well. They would also need to put on an excise tax. And all that means is cigarettes or e-cigarettes are going to become more expensive. They're going to be, you know, on the order of as expensive potentially as traditional cigarettes, which is getting rid of some of the advantage that people see to switching. And that's been the trend over the last 2 or 3 years, is all the measures public health people want to put in order to stop teenagers from having access to e-cigarettes just makes it harder and less attractive for adult smokers to switch.
Was this taxing too a way for, because a lot of the tobacco companies are branching out into the e-cigarette market, and if you can make it expensive to be in that industry, you're going to shake out the smaller companies, some of whom might have better ideas and better R&D than even the larger companies have with this technology. It really just puts the tobacco companies, keeps them in the catbird seat indirectly.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, you know, the most popular e-cigarette right now, Juul, that was started by a tech company in Silicon Valley. You know, that wasn't one of these large tobacco companies. Juul, the company that produced Juul, had never touched a tobacco leaf. They'd never been involved in the cigarette industry, and they did it better. I mean, massively better. They had something like a 75% market share when it came to e-cigarettes. So clearly, you know, we want these smaller tech firms to get involved and to push the other companies into innovating, because they are figuring out products, how to give smokers what they need and what they want. But yeah, so the user fee right now, it wouldn't necessarily hurt the smaller manufacturers of e-cigarettes, since, like I said, the fee would be assessed based on excise taxes. So how much do you sell? So a company like Juul would end up paying the bulk of the user's fees because they have the bulk of the market share. However, this plan necessitates a federal excise tax, and that's something that everybody would end up paying. And yes, that would definitely hurt the smaller manufacturers because they would have less ability to pay something like that.
With most of the manufacturers and more retailers too, understanding that you have to limit access to use, and maybe another way too, I never saw a reason for bubblegum smoking devices, but if that's not indirectly or directly marketing to youth, then that's a denial waiting to happen. But there was a poll that shows that maybe the FDA's message of misinformation is hooking, because 2012, there were 12% of adults who thought e-cigarettes were as harmful or more harmful than tobacco. By 2015, that number had gone up to around 34%. By 2018, 50%, half of adults had the belief that e-cigarettes were as dangerous or more dangerous than tobacco products. And in the same poll, 17% said unsure. So as far as marketing is concerned, well, if you pour money into any message, true or false, people are apparently going to buy into it. But Michelle and the Competitive Enterprise Institute, they present the facts. We've linked over to a report as well that Michelle authored that expands further on what we talked about here. Again, you can get that at CEI.org as well. She is a senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Michelle Minton, thanks for the insight into this topic. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.